turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. And I was thinking how, as I travel with this group, sometimes I get to hear the same song as I go to different churches. But if it's not as encouraging each time, that's my fault. We don't need to lose the wonder of the cross. Pastor Moreland, he's the pastor at Temple Baptist Church now at Crown College, and he was in chapel one time. He was talking about how he was visiting Niagara Falls, right? How beautiful is Niagara Falls? And as he was there, of course, he's just glued looking at Niagara Falls. And he said something that he notices as he was in awe of Niagara Falls. He noticed that there are some people just walking right past it without even giving a glimpse, not even looking at it. They were glued to their phones. And he asked someone he was with, he says, "Well, you know, why aren't they looking at Niagara Falls? It's so beautiful." He goes, "Oh, that's the locals." In other words, they had lost the wonder of it. And as Christians, as we come to church week after week or your devotions day after day, don't lose the wonder of the cross. Where's your mind at this morning? We're going to be talking a little bit about being at Jesus' feet and not allowing busyness to get in the way of that. But the reason I say that is because I need this. Literally, as I was sitting there at the seat, listening to the singing, you know what I was doing? My mind was just busy, 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 right? I was thinking about what I was about to say, and then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm doing exactly what I'm about to preach against. And I had to sit those things aside for a second. And when I did, I just started enjoying Christ. Jesus is precious. Jesus is good in the sense that as the King of Kings and as a sinful people, you know, the unholy people cannot go to a holy God. The holy God had to come to an unholy people. And the fact that he chose to do that, he did not have to, and he did. And so I'm thankful for that. I did want to say that an introduction to myself. My name is Danny, and this is my wife, Olivia, and we are with the group. And I did want to say and make it known that, you know, our main goal of being here and visiting these churches is not to promote a camp or to promote the college. Maybe that comes in as a result. But first and foremost, we want to glorify Christ. We came here to worship the Lord this morning, and we want to be an encouragement to you all. We want to be an encouragement to you, your pastor and your pastor's wife. And so thank you, Pastor Turner, for having us. Him and Pastor McKay did a lot of work to help us get out here, and we're super excited for that. So we're here. We're in Luke chapter number 10, and I'm excited to be in God's Word this morning. Amen. And here in verse, I want us to look at Luke chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 38. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38, and we're going to be introduced to today's characters. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he," speaking of Jesus, "entered into a certain village." And look what happens here. It says, "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." And verse 39 says, "And she had a sister called Mary." So right off the bat, we see our different characters of this passage. Of course, you have the Lord, but then you have Martha and Mary. And we're familiar with those characters, right? This is Martha and Mary, who's the sisters to Lazarus, who died, and Jesus rose from the dead, from the grave. And Martha, this is the same Martha that Jesus said and spoke to, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." This is the same Mary that broke the ointment on Jesus' feet and washed Jesus' feet with her hair. And I love, if you actually read the account where Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, it says, "Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha." These are his friends, and he's coming over to their house. But in this account here, this passage we have, there are going to be two examples given. Right? There's Martha and there's Mary. There's an example not to follow, and there's an example to follow. And I'll go ahead and say, one is going to be at Jesus' feet. The other one is not going to be at Jesus' feet. I think very clearly, the one that is at Jesus' feet is the example we need to follow. But let's look at these two examples. Again, let's look here at verse 39. It says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." But then look at verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." In other words, what that passage is saying, Mary's at Jesus' feet, but Martha wasn't. Why wasn't Martha at Jesus' feet? She was cumbered about much serving. And originally, as I was studying, I thought that the word cumbered there just meant a burden. That she was burdened, she had a lot on her plate. Maybe she did, but that word cumbered there literally means to draw away, to distract, or catch this, to be too busy is literally what it would mean. So Martha, like Mary, should have been sitting at Jesus' feet, but it wasn't because she was too busy. She was too busy. Now, I'm not going to have this be my main focus. Of course, we're going to be talking about busyness and how that can take you away from Christ's feet. But I do want to talk about what does it mean to be at Jesus' feet? I think we talk about that as Christians and we think about this account. What does it mean to be at Jesus' feet? And I just thought of a few things. One, if you're at Jesus' feet, guess what? That means you're close to him. Right, nearer my God to thee. This is a visualization of the verse, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. See, it's not just that Mary went to Jesus' feet, Jesus came to Mary. You think about in the Old Testament and the kings and sometimes how cruel they were. You were not allowed to approach the king unless he called for you. Here's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he went to Mary. How precious. If you're sitting at Jesus' feet, that means you're close to him. There's a walk, there's a relationship. But secondly, if you're sitting at Jesus' feet, or if you're sitting at anyone's feet, if you're going to meet eye to eye, what do you have to do? You have to look up. And if you think about it, Mary, both literally and figuratively, was looking up to Jesus. That was her model. That was her Savior. That's her shepherd. And she was looking up to him. I was thinking about the verse where David in the Psalm says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Mary was at Jesus' feet, looking up at the great I am. Right? She was looking at the face of the Messiah. How precious. If you're sitting at Jesus' feet, undoubtedly you are going to hear the words that come out of his mouth. Okay? If you look again with me in verse 39, it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and what? And heard his word. So when you're sitting at Jesus' feet, you're close to him. You're literally and figuratively, you're looking up to him and you're hearing his words. You're a student. You're a follower of Christ. You're learning from him. And like James talks about, you're not just there to hear, but you're there to do. See, Mary was hearing Jesus' words, but you know what? From Mary's character, I believe that she also did what she heard. If you think about it this way, and I love this, Mary at that moment, at Jesus' feet, she was drinking from the well of living water, and she was enjoying it. Because you can. It is enjoyable. And you know what? Martha could have too, but she didn't because she was too busy. That's very sad. The Lord knows that the best place you can be in life is close to him. The best place you can be in your life is close to Christ. Therefore, at Jesus' feet. So do not allow any type of busyness to take you away from sitting at Jesus' feet. I'll say, I wrote this in my notes, if you are on your feet to the point that you're not at his feet, you've missed what it's all about. And so the title of my message this morning is, At His Feet or On Your Feet. Martha was on her feet. Busy, busy, busy. Never enough time. Hey, the great I am, the wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, is sitting in her living room, but she's too busy. So at his feet or on your feet. And there's really three truths about busyness that I want to talk about this morning. First of all, if you're taking notes this morning, I want to see the interruption of her busyness. Martha's busyness did not come without a disruption. It interrupted the time that she had set a time with Christ. I want us to look again here in Matthew chapter 10, and let's look at verse 38. And I want you to try to see here in this verse how Martha's busyness is interrupting her time with the Lord. Look at verse 38. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, that's what I want to emphasize right there is Martha received him into her house. Now, who was it that sat at Jesus' feet? Mary. And so maybe they, Mary would receive him to the house. And I'm sure she would have. But I think it's very interesting to me that Martha was the one that received Jesus into the house. You know what that tells me? That Martha had actually made time for Christ. Martha had set aside time for Christ to come over. But it was interrupted when she got too busy. And I'm thinking about, here we have, the lily of the valleys had come to her doorsteps, right? The rod of Jesse springing, the son of David had walked through her door, right? The Messiah, the Christ, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, was sitting in her living room and she missed it. It was interrupted by her busyness. But my question is to you and I this morning, what about us? Because I was talking about myself sitting in the seat earlier. You know, you can be present somewhere physically, but that doesn't mean your mind is all there. I think a lot of times when we think about busyness, we think about you can only be busy physically, or you can only be busy with your body. No. The busiest thing on this planet, I believe, oftentimes is our own mind. You know, I'm assuming, or as you are here this morning, you have literally, like Martha, you've set aside time for Christ. You have marked time in your day to come here and sit with Christ. But so often do we come to that set aside time and we start thinking, what am I going to make for lunch afterwards? And I got to do this. I got some emails to check and notifications to answer and this to do. And I got to set out clothes for tomorrow. We're even thinking about Monday and Tuesday and all these different things. Like Martha, we set aside time, but we're letting it be interrupted by what we have to do, by our busyness. Again, I was sitting there and, you know, I'm sitting in church and I'm listening to the singing and I literally caught myself like, man, I'm not even paying attention to the words. I'm not even listening to what I'm singing or what's being sung because I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. Think about your own devotion. Again, if you go to your morning devotions, you have, like Martha, set aside time for Christ. You have made time for Christ, but as you're reading, maybe in the back of your mind, you have a million different things of the things you got to do that day. You're allowing your busyness to interrupt your time with Christ. You know what I think is very interesting, too? And I think this is something to take note of. Mary was not blind. Mary saw the same things that needed to be done. Mary saw the same floor that needed to be swept. She saw the same dishes that needed to be cleaned. She saw the same food that needed to be prepared. Jesus was at their house. The Messiah. She saw those things, but you know what she did? She realized that in light of Christ being there, those things could wait. And I think, you know, when you come to church this morning, allow it to be church and a time where you come to the Lord and to the Lord only. Amen. Don't come to the Lord and 50 different other things. And that's hard. I struggle with that. I like being busy. I think at some point, all of us like have something we're doing. But when you come to your devotion time, when you come to church, like Mary, hey, you know what? You do realize, you know what? You do have to cook lunch today. You know, yeah, you know what? There may be some emails you got to check. Yes, you got to get ready for tomorrow. But you know what? In light of where you're at and who you're with, those things can wait. Your business to interrupt what the Lord is doing in your life. But now, I want to see Jesus' perspective, right? We're talking about a lot about Martha and Mary, but what was Jesus thinking about all this? Look here in verse 41. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, I love how tender Jesus is. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But then look at verse 42. But one thing is needful. Quite simply, Martha was so focused on so many things, but missed the one thing. Martha was letting the many busy things take her from the one and needful thing. She was focusing on the thing that was not important to the point where she wasn't focusing on the thing that was important. She was so troubled and I got to do this. And I think this speaks to us. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to run here. I got to drop this off, pick this up, drop this off at the post office, get back here, do this, cook supper. You get busy. But don't allow it to interrupt your time with Christ because at the end of the day, and by the way, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do those things. There are things that need to be done. But Christ is the needful thing.
Yes,
amen. You know, I thought it was kind of maybe an illustration, maybe a funny illustration. When I was in high school, I went to a Christian high school growing up, and the school was so small that everybody made the basketball team. Like, they had tryouts, but everyone made the basketball team. But if you want to know how bad I was, okay, Christian school, everyone made the team, and I was still sitting on the bench. It was not good. But one of the away trips, you know, we would travel, like, you have home games in a way. We would load up the bus. And so I'm in my mind, right? I'm thinking, okay, basketball is something I had made time for. I set aside time to practice and work on basketball. And now it was time to enjoy that basketball game, do what I've practiced, right? And as we were loading up, I'm going through everything. Make sure I have my book back because possibly, you know, I could do homework in between games. Okay, I got my notebook. I could do homework. Okay, and I got my snacks for my protein after the game, my lunchbox. I grabbed all my things. We get to the trip, and I'm grabbing my stuff, and I notice I left something. I left my duffel bag. The one thing that I actually needed that day to play the basketball game. And it was really embarrassing. Guess who didn't get to play basketball that day? I didn't. You know, I was so focused and troubled about so many things. I had to grab my book bag, my lunchbox. I was grabbing everything but the one thing that was needful. It interrupted what I was doing, just like Martha with the Lord. I thought about how Paul said, yea, doubtless. Now, I think we could all say that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was busy, right? Preaching, evangelizing. He was a tent maker also. And he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. See, Paul saw the importance of being at Christ's feet. Paul says that I may win Christ, and then a few verses later, he says that I may know him. But Paul, you're busy. Dung. But you have this, you got this going on. Loss in comparison and light to Christ in my time with him. Not that those things didn't need to be done, but you need to set aside time with Christ and when you're focused on Christ and Christ only. Amen. Because as maybe important as those other things are, Christ is the one and needful thing. Are you letting your busyness interrupt your time at Christ's feet? Danny, this morning, are you letting your busyness get in the way of you and Christ? And so that's the interruption of her business. And then secondly, I want to see the intention of her busyness. The intention of Martha's busyness. Look with me again here in chapter 10. Let's look at verse number 40. And I think this is very interesting. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, what I think is very interesting here is I believe, and I truly believe this, I think Martha had good intentions. I don't think there was any ill will. I don't think she was trying to ignore Jesus. I don't think she was trying to allow her time with Christ to be disrupted. I think she truly had good intentions. I mean, the Messiah was at her house. She wanted things to look nice. She wanted things to be clean. She wanted to serve him, I'm sure. I think that that Martha thought that what she was doing was right, and so much so that she thought that Jesus was going to be on her side. As she's cumbered about much serving, getting this done, getting that done, notice again in verse 40 how she goes to Jesus. Hey, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me? Like, she thought she was in the right so much so that she went to Jesus like, you're on my side, right? Hey, in fact, hey, Mary needs to come help me. Hey, Lord, help me out here. I'm doing this all by myself. Send Mary to help me. Martha thought that what she was doing was right. And you know what? What Martha was doing wasn't really bad in and of itself. She was serving. These are good things. But I like that how that quote goes. It says, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it takes place of the best thing. Everything Martha was doing that day were not bad things. She was serving Christ. But it was getting in the way of her sitting at Jesus' feet like Mary. And when she went to Jesus, hey, Lord, I mean, you should send Mary to come and help me. She had missed it. She had missed it. Now, busyness becomes a problem. Because maybe you're thinking, okay, well, but what about some of the things I actually have to do? So when does busyness become a problem? You can evaluate this in your own life. Busyness becomes a problem when it takes you away from Jesus. Business becomes a problem when it takes you away from Jesus. I don't know who said this or where this quote comes from, but I saw a friend had posted this one time, and it honestly really convicted me at the time and still does today. But the quote goes like this. It says, if you are too busy to spend time with the Lord, you are busier than God intended you to be. If you are too busy to spend time with the Lord, you are busier than God intended you to be. If you're not at Jesus' feet, maybe you're just avoiding him. That's a problem. If you're not at Jesus' feet, maybe you want to, but you're just lazy. Well, that's a problem. Or maybe, thirdly, maybe you really are just too busy to be at his feet. But guess what? That's also a problem. Something needs to go. But I have so many important things I'm sure that God wants me to take care of. If it's taking you away from Christ, you're busier than God intended you to be. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. Be willing to let something go so you can give time to Christ as you need. And maybe you're saying, but no, you don't understand. It's Christian service. I'm actually serving in ministries, this ministry, that ministry. Your service to God does not substitute your relationship with God. Amen. Serving for Christ is not the same as being at his feet. Think about it like this. Martha was literally serving Christ that day, literally. But you know what the problem, but why isn't she applauded? Because she wasn't at Jesus' feet. You know, if you are thinking that way, say, well, hey, you know, I don't get as much time alone with Christ as I need, but I'm really involved in Christian service. I'm witnessing and I'm door knocking. That's great, and I hope you keep doing that. But your personal walk, how are you going to help someone else's walk with Christ if your walk with Christ is not where it should be?
Very good.
If your walk with Christ is not where it should be. Now, what I want us to do here is let's look at Jesus's perspective on this one as well. Look here in verse number 42. It says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Well, what is that one thing that is needful? What is that one good part? That's Jesus.
Amen.
And it's very interesting to me. It's almost as if Jesus is, in a way, defending Mary here. Martha's like, hey, Lord, I'm serving by myself. You should send Mary to help me. And Jesus is like, hey, Martha, you are worried about so many other things, but there's really one thing needful, and Martha's found that. She has that good part. But remember, what Martha was doing, she honestly, I believe, thought was good. But it's interesting to me what Jesus was calling good and what Martha was calling good. Here, Martha thought her service was what was needful in the moment. But Jesus says, no, there's one thing that's needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. Being at Jesus' feet Yes, although she was serving, that was the needful thing at the moment. See, Martha put service, her service before her time with Christ, whereas Mary put her time with Christ before her service. And that's the correct and biblical order. Many of you probably know George Mueller and his ministry. George Mueller was a very busy man. He had an orphanage of around 300 orphans, I believe, and very busy in the ministry. But he wrote just a little excerpt that I want to read to you. And I usually don't like reading a big excerpt while I'm preaching, but I want you to consider what George Mueller said about this topic. He says, "According to my judgment, the most important point to be attended to is this. Above all things, see to it that your souls are happy in the Lord. Other things may press upon you, busyness. The Lord's work may even have urgent claims upon your attention, busyness. But I deliberately repeat, it is of supreme and paramount importance that you should seek above all things to have your souls truly happy in God himself." Amen. Like Mary, day by day, seek to make this the most important business of your life. "This has been my firm and settled condition," he's sharing his personal life here, "for the last 5 and 30 years. And then George Mueller says, "For the first 4 years after my conversion, I knew not its vast importance. But now, after much experience, I specially commend this point to the notice of my younger brethren and sisters in Christ." Then he says this, "The secret of all true effectual service is joy in God, having experimental acquaintance and fellowship with God himself." Again, how are you going to help other people with their walk with Christ if your walk with Christ is not where it should be? "Well, I'm not sitting at Jesus' feet per se, but I'm knocking doors, I'm soul winning, I'm doing this." Those things are great, but you need time with Christ. Good. Good. Pastor Sexton, the founder of Crown College, he's with the Lord now. He would, often in our classes, he would bring up the point that he thought was very interesting, I think is very interesting, that he would like to point out what the very first command Jesus gave to the disciples. Do you know what the very first thing Jesus told the disciples to do or did? It wasn't start a bus ministry or start a church. Those things are great. You don't have to turn there, but listen to what the very first thing Jesus commands to his disciples in Mark chapter 3. It says, "And he ordained the 12 that they should," what? "Do this ministry, do this, do that." It says that they should be with him. And you know what's interesting? You know what comes right after that? It says, "and that he might send them forth to preach." He wanted them to serve, but what came first? They needed to be with him. Martha had a lot going on that day, a lot of business. And honestly, I think the thing she was doing probably did need to get done. But you know what she needed to be doing first? She needed to be sitting right beside her sister at the feet of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that good things are often the very things that take you away from Christ? I just want to see the intentions of her busyness. I don't think she was doing anything any ill will, but the very things that she thought was good was not the good part that was at Christ's feet. And then lastly this morning, I want us to see this. We've seen the interruption, the intention, but now I want to see the insignificance of her busyness. The insignificance of her busyness. Let's look here again at verse 41. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." But I want us to look at this last phrase, "which shall not be taken away from her." What Mary was doing at Jesus' feet was eternal. It would last. What she was receiving from Christ could not be taken away from her. Here's the interesting thing. What Martha was doing, you know what? Her busyness was continuous. It was never ending. It was ceaseless. You know, it's really funny to me that as humans, a lot of times we're busy so we can get ahead, but then we find more things to do. Busy people will always find something to do. Busy people will always find something to do. Guess what? That floor that you swept today will need swept tomorrow. The dishes that you did today will need to be done tomorrow. You're going to have to check your emails every day. There's constant notifications. And so if you never set aside time for Christ, you never will. Because busyness is never ending. It's continuous. There is always something to be done. And you know what? As much as they need to be done, guess what? They are all temporary. Do not allow these temporary things to make you lose focus on Christ, who is eternal.
Amen.
Mary, though, had chosen something that would not be taken from her. I think this is interesting. Think about it now. We're here in 2026. Martha and Mary have been gone for 2,000 years. And guess what? That floor that she was sweeping, the food that she prepared, isn't even in existence anymore. It was temporary. It faded. But you know where they're at right now? They're in heaven. You know what I bet they're doing right now? They're at Jesus' feet. Because being at Jesus' feet is what's truly important. Again, I'm not trying to preach against, I'm not saying don't be a hard worker and not get things done. Of course, we need to do those things. But God, I think how the seventh day God rested because he even knew, not because God was tired, but he's setting this example. There has to be a time where you set aside a time with Christ. And I thought about a good illustration for someone who did not follow this. Think about Solomon. Solomon was a busy man. He was busy, busy, busy. And guess what? He did, and got. He was wealthy. He could eat whatever he wanted. He had like 1,000 wives. He had all the different things, and he worked for it. He was busy, busy, busy. But was his busyness something that he came to at the end of his life and wrote a book about that was good? No, in fact, the complete opposite. He came to his life after a life full of busyness, getting things done, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. How does the book start? Vanity of vanities. Oh, I mean, if someone's like, man, a lot of people today, like you think about people in New York, right? They want to wake up, the stock market opens, they're busy, 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 money, money, money. Man, oh, Solomon, he's a wise man. I want to learn from him. Let's see what he has to say. Vanity of vanities. It's empty, all in all. Well, then what's the point of life? What's the conclusion of life? Well, it's very interesting to me that at the very end of that book, what does he say? He says the conclusion of the matter is this. Fear God and obey his commandments. Now, hold on. What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. You know what? You can be busy and busy and busy all you want and come to the end of life, and it's all going to fade. It's all temporary. But like Solomon said, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, obey his commandments. And again, what's that first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. You need to be at Jesus' feet. Think about Isaiah. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now think about it. This is so amazing. Mary that day, as she was sitting at Jesus' feet, what was she listening to? The words of God. She was listening to those words that would stand forever. And I'm not trying to just knock on Martha. I do believe that Martha loved the Lord. I really do. I just think, like, because honestly, a lot of us, like Martha, are guilty of what she did. We just get busy. But what she did, that was like the grass that withereth. That was like the flower that fadeth, when in reality, she needed to be like Mary at Jesus' feet, listening to the word that would stand forever. Do you realize the insignificance of your busyness in light of eternity? Time you spend at Christ's feet is time well spent. It has eternal value. And so today, we have seen the example of two ladies, Martha and Mary, one to follow, one not to follow. One was sitting at Jesus' feet, one was not sitting at Jesus' feet. Just as a review, first, I want to encourage you, as we begin to close, I'll turn it back over to Pastor Turner in just a moment, but take it up with the Lord. Allow him to examine you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. Is there something in your life that you're allowing to interrupt your time with the Lord? Don't allow busyness to interrupt your time with the Lord. Don't be focused on everything, but then forget the one and needful thing. Don't focus on all the many parts and forget the good part. What you're busy in are good things, like we talked about. But remember, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it takes place of the best thing. If you're too busy for the Lord, you're too busy. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what can I remove from my life to be at your feet? A more quality time at your feet. We are busy with things that will one day fade. And so I want to encourage you with that. Speak with the Lord. Allow him to reveal these things to your heart. I want to pray, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Turner.